Okay. Good morning, everyone. Parshas Vayetze. So, this is such an important number. Well, they're all important parshas, but this is the parsha where really the birth of Klal Yisrael happens. Yaakov gets married, and we have the birth of 11 out of the 12 tribes, 12 Shvatim. So, just as an overview first of the parsha, so we have, of course, Yaakov is running away from his parents' home, Be'er Sheva, is running away from Esav, who wants to kill him. He comes to the well. Here we are, Millie. Up to you. He comes to the well. He meets Rachel, he wants to marry Rachel, works for 7 years for Rachel. Lavan gives him Leah instead. He works another 7 years. He marries first Leah and Rachel, and he works another 7 years. During that time, like 11 of the Shvatim are born. Another 6 years after that, altogether he works for Lavan for 20 years. And he needs to leave. It's clashing him and Lavan. He leaves eventually. Lavan pursues him. They meet up. They make a pact between them not to harm each other. And Yaakov arrives back in Israel. We're going to focus on the first part of the parasha, which I'm going to share in the screen in just a moment. But just let's set the scene here. Set the scene is that we've spoken many, many times, right? That Maisa Avos Siman Labonim, whatever happens to the forefathers, was just a pre-runner of what was going to happen to the children, as the Ramban explains, and as we've explained a number of times, it actually means something very deep. It doesn't just mean that it was like an indication of what was going to happen to the children, to the descendants, but in fact it was creating the experience of the future. It wasn't just telling the future, it's actually creating the future. In other words, the journey that Klal Yisrael was going to take later on was created by and infused, given strength by the events that happen to the patriarchs and matriarchs. And I think this is obvious. Perhaps one could suggest that it's true with all the patriarchs and matriarchs, but it's particularly true, maybe, particularly relevant with Yaakov, as after all, Yaakov, who is also known as Yisrael, we are called, he's the father of the Jewish nation. I mean, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, but Yaakov gives birth to the 12 tribes, we all come from the 12 tribes, and of course, we are called Bnei Yisrael. That's our name. We are called Bnei Yisrael because we are sons of Yaakov, whose name was also Yisrael. So, in general, this plays out a lot during this week's parasha. Right? I'm just going to share the screen. Give me one second here, so we can see it properly for those on Zoom. 1 second. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, sorry, no, that wasn't good. Give me 1 second, sorry. Okay. Just 1 second. Okay. So here we are. Vayetze, so the first pasuk says, it's in number one. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva. Yaakov left Be'er Sheva. Vayelech Charana, and he went to Charan. Right? Even that pasuk alone, our rabbis tell us, is the story of the Jewish people, particularly the story of every individual. It represents the journey of the soul, the journey of the neshama, right? Coming down from heaven. Because if you just look at those two places, Be'er Sheva is where he left, where he went to was Charana. So Be'er Sheva means the well. A well is always a place of blessing, a place of purity, water. Sheva comes from the word Shavua, the bond, the oath, the pact between the Jew and God. So the neshama, before it leaves heaven to come down to this body, to come down to the lowly world, is in a place called Be'er Sheva, right? As the Kabbalists explain exactly why it's called Be'er and Sheva and so on. One of the reasons of Sheva, the connotation of the word Shavua, which means an oath, is what the Gemara says, that before a neshama comes down to this world, it's quoted in Tanya as well, Mashbiyinoi say they make the neshama take an oath. In other words, they saturate the neshama with extra power to be able to withstand the journey and the tests that the journey coming down to the body will include, right? Vayelech Charona, and the neshama goes to Charan. Where's Charan? Charan is, the word Charan means Charoim, anger, place of negativity, which is this world, a place of concealment, a place of confusion. That's where the neshama. So just as possible, Vayetzi Yaakov Reishava very much deals with the neshama, the journey that the neshama takes from on high all the way down to the body. More generally, in terms of Klal Yisrael, this is a reference to the journey that the Yidden take in Golos. Don't forget, Yaakov was leaving Eretz Yisrael, and he was going into Haran, right? So, and the Jewish people themselves went through that journey a number of times, particularly this Golos, which is the longest of all. And that's also, Yaakov represents the Jewish nation. Vayetzei Yaakov, Yaakov leaves Be'er Sheva, the place of Israel, Vayelech Haran, and he goes to a place of anger, which is the place of Golos. So it's representing the journey of the Yidden in Golos. Now, this journey, as we read in the Psukim, just as we'll read through a few Psukim here, comes with a blessing as well. So let's have a look at what the Psukim say. So just the Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11, says, the Pasuk says, Vayifka ba'mokam, right, still number one, but second Pasuk, Vayifka ba'mokam, he chanced upon the place, and this is the place of the Temple Mount, Vayolen Shom, and he slept there, Kivu HaShemesh, because the sun was setting. Yikach me'avnei ha'mokoim, he took the stones of the place, v'yosem rashoisev, and he put them around his head. As we know the story, v'yishka v'mokoim ahu, and he lay down in that place. Pasuk Yubei says, v'yachaloim, and he dreamt. Right? V'hinei sulam mutzav arzah, there was a ladder firmly rooted on the ground. V'roitzoy magia ha'shamayim, and its head was reaching heaven. V'hinei malachei elokim, and the angels of God, Oilim v'yordim boy, were going up and down. The Mefarshim explained, the Medrash says that the Malachim going up and down is also a symbol of the ups and downs of the Jewish nation. And in that dream, he saw a vision of the four exiles that the Jewish people were going to experience. And what happens in the next pasuk? The pasuk in Gimel, it says, V'hine Hashem nitzav olav. Hashem is standing. Ayoymer, and he says, Ani Hashem, I am God. Elokei Avraham Avicha, I'm the God of your father Avraham, v'lekei Yitzchak, ha'aretz asher ato sheikh v'leo, this land that you are lying on, l'cho et nana u lazarecho, I'm giving it to you and to your children. And then he goes on to bless him, and he says, you'll go, I'll be with you, I'll protect you, and I'll return you. And then Yaakov wakes up, and he promises to God that if he comes back in one piece, and he has what to eat, and what to wear, and so on and so forth, he will give everything of, he will give a tenth of everything that he has to Hashem. So going back to the bigger picture here, the journey of the Jews to Golos, even though God sent us into Golos, as we know, but each Golos comes with a blessing and comes with a protection that Hashem comes with us and he's protecting us to be able to withstand the tests, both the physical tests and the spiritual tests that happen throughout the Golos. And with that comes the promise that we will return properly through Mashiach, we'll return back to Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash, and so on and so forth. So, in that context, what I want to do, I want to share with you a number of things in the Parsha and learn them in that context. Learn them in the context of the journey that we take, either generally the Neshama coming down to the body, generally, or the specific journey that we're in Golos, and waiting for Mashiach, and what that all means. I'll share with you a couple of short things, and then a couple of one or two longer things. So, one example of this whole idea is something that Berditcheva Rebbe says, the Kedushas Levi. Having a look at the pasuk again, here we are, this one. What is it? Here we are. Pasuk Yud Aleph, 11. Yifka Bamokim, it says he came upon the place, he slept there, and then it says in the Vayikach me'avnei hamokoim, he took from the stones of the place, Vayishka mokoim ahu, and he slept there. Right? Vayishka mokoim. It says about Ditchever. Stones, this comes from a very early Kabbalah sefer called the Sefer Yetzirah. Stones represent letters. It says in Sefer Yetzirah that every stone is like another letter. If you put a few stones together, like you create a bit of a building, that's a word. If you put a few words together, you create a whole building, and so on. So often the stones in Chumash and Tanakh is an imagery of words. What kind of words? It says like this. So what did Yaakov do? He took me'avnei hamokim. He took words, again, stone meaning words, hamokim of Hashem. You know, sometimes we refer to Hashem as hamokim. Like when we comfort someone when they're mourning, God forbid. We say hamokim yenachem eschem, which means God should comfort you, right? The reason is because one of the names of Hashem is mokim, place, because he incorporates the entire place of the world. He fills the world, right? So it says, he took the words of Hashem to protect himself, by Yosem Mirashoisov, and he put them around his head. Which means he put them at the forefront of his thought. In other words, a yid that is going into Golus, a yid that is in an environment which isn't spiritually safe, how do we protect ourselves? We have to take the words of Torah, the words of Tefillah, and put them in the forefront of our consciousness, put them in the forefront of our thought. That's the protection. And then it says in the Pasuk, says about Ditcha, a very beautiful thing. It says, Vayishkav. And he lay down. It says, what's Vayishkav? He says, Vayesh Chofbeis. There are 22 letters of the alphabet. You've got to take the 22 letters of Torah, 22 letters of Tefillah, and put them in the forefront of our mind, and that's how we survive. Right? That's very beautiful. Vayishkav is Yesh, Vayesh Chofbeis. These 22 letters of the alphabet, as we know. And these are the 22 letters with which Hashem created the world, the 22 letters of the Torah, and that's what we've got to put in the forefront of our consciousness, and that's how we survive. Okay. Another interesting idea is from the Shem Yishmuel, the Sochet Shavu Rebbe. Sochet Shavu Rebbe says, a famous idea, in fact, let's learn the Rashi. If you look at number 3, right? We'll come back to this Rashi a little bit later, but put a number 3. So Yosim Rashoisav, right? He put the stones around his head. So it says Rashi, Oson Kamin Marzev, Sovel Roshe, made like a little fence around his head. Shehoyo Yore Bipnei Chayos Rois, because Yaakov was afraid of the wild animals. Okay, a separate question, what does that mean? I mean, if he was scared of the wild animals, putting stones around your head isn't going to help much. But anyway, okay, we'll come back to that. Then it says, Rashi quotes a very famous medrash. Hischilu merivai zu imzu. The stones began to quarrel with each other. Zoysa meres Allah yoniach tzadik es reisha. The one says, on me the tzadik will put his head. Zoysa meres Allah yoniach. And the other stone says, no, on me the tzadik will put his head. Miyad osan hakadosh baruch hu even achas. What does Hashem do? Hashem puts it. He made them all into one stone. V'zeh shenema. And this is what it says in the pasuk. When Yaakov woke up, it says he took the stone. But when he went to sleep, it says he put stones around his head. When he woke up, it says he took the stone and he made it into a monument, right? And that's what it says in the Pasuk, by Yikach es ho'evan, he took the stone by Yosem Merashoisav, and Asher Somers Merashoisav, that he had put around his head. Meaning that there was 12 stones, but it became one. How many stones were there? There were 12 stones. Says Hashem Yishmuel, what's the whole idea here? So what Yaakov was doing here is a fascinating thing. He was actually establishing the foundation of Klal Yisrael, right? Because there's a medrash that Yaakov was something unique. We have three fathers, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. But Avram says the medrash didn't have 12 tribes. Avram had Yitzchak, but he also had Yishmael. And Yishmael went off the chart, right? Off the map of Klal Yisrael. Yitzchak had Yaakov, but he had also Esav. Yaakov was very special in that all his children were tzaddikim, and Yaakov essentially established the family of Klal Yisrael. He established the 12 tribes. But in order to establish, because why? Because it says that Yaakov was mitosoi shlema. His bed was complete, meaning all his entire household was pure, tzaddikim, righteous. But there were 12 of them. Why? So when Yaakov lays down and he knows that he's on the way, right? He's on the way to Lavan. And in Lavan, that's when he's going to give birth to the 12 tribes. He's going to be, in this journey to Haran, he established the Jewish family, he established the 12 tribes. So he wants to lay the foundation of how it's going to work. How's it going to work? It needs to be that the Klal Yisrael have to be united. But unity does not mean that they should all think alike and they should all be the same. Unity means that there's going to be 12 tribes. 12 tribes mean that everyone is going to have a different perspective, a different way, all the same Torah, the same Hashem, the same Torah mitzvahs, but a little bit different. Every way, every tribe will have a different slant, a different angle on how they serve Hashem. Which of course is hinted in the Rashi, that they quarrel with each other, right? Because this one says, Olai yoniach tzaddik es roisha, the tzaddik will lay on me. Meaning I'm the one that knows the way to serve Hashem. The other one will say, no, our derech, our way is the way to serve Hashem, right? What does Hashem do? Makes them one star. Starts off with 12, makes them one star. What is Yaakov doing there? He's explaining the following, that there needs to be 12 tribes. The way Hashem created the world is that there's differences. There has to be differences. And in fact, in the very fabric of Kal Yisrael, although we start off with three fathers, but we are different tribes. There's Reuven, there's Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, they all stand for something different. But yet what we have to understand is that although we are 12 tribes, but we are focused on the same thing. We have the same fathers, we have the same focus, and it becomes one stone. That's 12 tribes that become one stone. It's not one stone to begin with. That's not a good idea. It's 12 tribes that become one, and that's how Klal Yisrael has to work. Right? We forget that sometimes. We sometimes think that differences are no good, right? We have to remember, no, as long as we're all within the same system, as long as we believe in the same things, which are the 13 principles of faith, and we believe in Hashem's Torah and Hashem's mitzvahs, and we keep basically the same. No, so we have different ways, different perspectives. That's fine. That's a good thing. And we can respect each other, and we should respect each other. We should be united with each other because we are all one, essentially, and that's the permanent structure, the permanent monument that Yaakov Avinu made when he got up. He made that stone to be a monument, and that's what he was establishing, that power. To be different, but to be one. To be 12 tribes, but to essentially be one monument. Okay. I'll just share with you before I go on. There's two things which are longer. I'm going to share with you something that the Koshnitzer Magid says in a sefer called Avodas Yisrael. And he comments on this pasuk of here. I'm just going to show you. Have a look at number 2 in the handout. It says there, Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnosoi. Yaakov got up from his sleep. Vayomer, and he said, Ochen, yesh Hashem. Behold, there's Hashem b'mokem hazeh, in this place. V'noichi lo yadaiti, I didn't even know. Vayiro vayomer, and he was afraid, and he said, Manoira ha'mokem hazeh, how awesome is this place. Ein zek im beis elokim, this must be the place, the house of God, v'zeh shara shemayim, and this is the gateway to heaven. Says the Avodas Yisrael, what is Yaakov afraid of? What was going on there? So going back to what we said before, when Yaakov had the dream, he says, we learn in the Medrash that Yaakov saw the four exiles, right? There's four exiles. We know it's a concept called Dalet Goliath, the exile of Bavel, the exile of Persia, the exile of Greece, the exile of Edom, which is our exile, right? And he saw the destruction that will take place after each one. He saw the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash. And he also saw, ultimately, the third Beis HaMikdash, right? But he saw the third Beis HaMikdash is going to take a very long time. Because according to the Medrash, he saw in his dream, he saw the four exiles, but he also got a prophecy of how long each exile would last. For example, he was shown the prophecy of the Golus Bavel, the Babylonian exile, and he saw that it was going to last 70 years, okay? Greece, Persia, the same thing. When he saw Golus Edom, he saw there's no end to this. It's like, what's going on? Ultimately, Hashem says to him, no, what will follow this exile will be amazing, will be the third Beis HaMikdash. So with this, the Koshnitzer Magid explains the pasuk. It says, Vayiro Vayoymar. He was very afraid. Yaakov was very afraid. He saw the destruction. He saw the first Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, the second Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. So he says, this is a very scary concept, a very scary journey. But then he was comforted. Why was he comforted? So we just need to explain one thing. The Gemara says like this. We find that the Temple Mount in Chumash has three references. One time it's called a har, a mountain. That's when Avram Avinu referred to it as a mountain. He took Yitzchak for the Akedah. The second time it's called a field. When Rivka was coming back, it says Yitzchak went out to daven in the field, and this was the same place. All right. And Yaakov called it a house, a bais. And the Chazal say, it's a reference to the three temples, the three Bote Mikdash. First one corresponds to Abraham, which is called the Har, a mountain. Second one corresponds to Yitzchak, called a field. And the third corresponds to Yaakov, which is called a high, a bias, a house. And that's like a permanent thing that we make a house and it's there to stay. It's there for Hashem to live in. Right? So have a look at the Pasuk again. Go to Pasuk Yitzai in section 2. This is how the Koshin Simagli explains the Pasuk. It says, Vayira Vayomar, he was afraid and he said, Manoira Mokam Azeh. This is so awesome and so scary. He's seeing the Foth Golos and he's seeing it so long and it's after the destruction of the first temple and the second temple. But he says, Ein Zeh, you know what it's all for? It's all for Ki'im Beis Elohim. It's for the house of Hashem. What's the house of Hashem? The third Beis HaMikdash. The one that he called the house, the Yaakov one. He says, I know what this is all leading to. That's why I'm comforted. I know it's all leading ultimately to the third Beis HaMikdash, which is called Bais, it's called the house, which is Shara Shomayim, and this is the gate to heaven. This is the ultimate redemption that will take place with the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Good. Now, those are just a couple of ideas where you really see that this story is not just a story of Yaakov running away from Esau going to Haran, but really it's the story of the Jewish people. Now, I'm going to share with you an idea of what took place when Yaakov lay down to sleep, right? In the Beis HaMikdash, in a temple mount. And what actually was going on here behind the scenes on a spiritual level, what I'm going to share with you, this part comes from Shvilei Pinchas. I've shared stuff with you before. Pinchas Friedman, who writes a journal every Shabbos, amazing stuff he puts together. I'm going to share with you some of what he says. He starts like this. He says, first of all, there's a fascinating medrash. If you look over here in the Pasuk Yud Aleph in section 1, it says, Vayifka b'mokim, he chanced upon the place. Came back to the place and Hashem made him sleep there because Hashem made the sun set prematurely. According to the Medrash, actually what happened was as follows. It says, Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and he went to Haran. According to the Medrash, he actually reached Haran. As he was reaching Haran, he realized that he didn't daven in preparation. He didn't daven in preparation for this mission. And he didn't daven at the same spot where his father and grandfather had davened, right? Which is Temple Mount. So he went back. And Hashem made him go back quickly and he was able to get there quickly and he davened. Then he was going to leave and Hashem decided to make the sun set so he should sleep there. Then it says, if you turn over the page, so it says a few things. It says, first of all, it says that Vayishka b'mokem ahu. He slept there, right? Have a look at number 5. Actually, we need number 5 now and a bit later as well, but we'll just do the first part of number 5. It says, Vayishka b'mokem ahu. He slept there. He lay down. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda and Nechemiah both make a comment. Rabbi Yehuda says like this. That Khan Shachav, over here, he lay down. I will call you Dalit Shana, but all 14 years, Shahoya Tomun Beves Aver, Loy Shachav. It says that when Yaakov came to the Temple Mount, he lay down. And Rashi brings this also. It was the first time in 14 years that he lay down. Why? What was Yaakov doing for 14 years before? We forgot to mention at the beginning. You know the famous idea that when Yaakov left his father's house, he didn't go straight to Haran. Because he knew it was a tough mission. He went to yeshiva for 14 years first. He went to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever to learn before he would go to Haran. Right? Says Rashi, he didn't when he was there, he didn't lie down. He didn't go to sleep. So when he came now to the place to daven, and he laid down, and he went to sleep. This is the first time he went to sleep. It was the first time he laid down in 14 years. Okay, we'll see what the significance of that is in a moment. The other thing he points out is this idea that Yaakov laid down there. And what did he do? We learned it before. He took 12 stones and put them around his head. Correct? Put them around his head. Why? Says Rashi, because he was scared of wild animals. Now, anyone knows if you're lying down in a jungle and you want to protect yourself from wild animals, putting stones around your head is not going to help. The lion can eat your heart if he needs to. Right? So it's not going to help. So what was that all about? So he says like this. He says, first of all, he brings a Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer asks a very important question. What does it mean that for 14 years he didn't sleep? We know it's not possible. Of course you have to sleep. The Gemara says that it's not possible for a person to go 3 days without sleeping. Right? So much so that if a person makes a promise, he makes an oath, says the Gemara, that he's not going to sleep for more than 3 days, he's guilty of making a false oath, he gets lashes, and he can go to sleep right away. Because it's null and void. It doesn't make any sense. So what does he mean he didn't sleep for 7 days, for 14 years? What does that mean? Right? So it says, obviously, it means something different. It means that he didn't go to sleep horizontally. He didn't lay down to go to sleep, right? 14 years. But whenever he needed to sleep, he fell asleep, right? Whenever he needed to sleep. Suddenly he comes to the Beis HaMikdash. He knows it's a holy place. He davens Ma'ariv there. We know it's a holy place. Maybe he didn't realize how holy because Leil Hashem reveals to him, but he knew it was a holy place because that was the place that Avram had davened and Yitzchak had davened, and here he decides to lie down. Right? Why do the same? Why don't you just sit or stand and just doze off? Here he lies down. Says the Chassam Sofer, why? Because he wanted to, isn't what he says, he wanted to lie down at the same place that Yitzchak had laid down by the Akedah. Because this was the same spot Yitzchak was on the Akedah, Parshas Vayera. What happened when Avraham Avinu was going to offer up Yitzchak on the Akedah? Right? Avraham Avinu built a Mizbeach and he took Yitzchak and he put him horizontal on the Mizbeach. So he wanted us laid down in the same spot that Yitzchak was lying there. Right? Now, just to give you a bit of context of here of how important this place was to understand what is going on here. This place, the Temple Mount today, we know where the Temple Mount is, right? Especially the place of the Mizbeach, where Yitzchak had the Akedah, is a very holy spot, and it goes back all the way to Adam Arishon. Let's have a look at a Rambam. Have a look at number 4. Okay, says the Rambam. Umesoyres, number 4. Umesoyres b'yad hakoil. Says the Rambam, it's a tradition that everyone has. Shehamokoyim shabona ben David by David Shlomo Mizbeach, the place where David and Shlomo built the Mizbeach. He says David and Shlomo, because actually David laid the plans and Shlomo actually built it. This was Begoyren Aravno. This is the barn of Aravno, right? I don't know if you know the history. When David HaMelech wanted the Beis HaMikdash to be built in Yerushalayim, the Temple Mount belonged to a Yebusite called Aravno. David HaMelech bought that spot from him, and that's where the place of the Mizbeach became, right? That spot where they built the Mizbeach, says the Rambam, Hu hamokoyim shebono boy Avram ha-Mizbeach, that's the place where Avram built the Mizbeach, the Okad Olav Yitzchak, and he made Yitzchak the Akedah there, right? Not only that, says the Rambam, Hu hamokoyim shebono boy Noach, that's the place Noach was built from. That's the place that Noach built. It says that when Noach came out, right, he built a Mizbeach and he brought a Korban. That's where it was. That's also the Mizbeach, Shikra Olav, Cain, Vehevel, going even earlier. When Cain and Hevel were created, the sons of Adam Arishon, they built a Mizbeach and they brought a Korban. Cain's was rejected and Hevel's was accepted. Where was it? On the Temple Mount, at the same spot of the Mizbeach. The boy Hikriv Adam Arishon Korban Keshenivra. And that says the Rambam is a place where Adam Arishon built a Mizbeach when he was created. Apparently when Adam Rishon was created, he built a Mizbeach to make a sacrifice to Hashem. Not only that, says the Rambam, listen to this, Umisham Nivra. Adam Rishon didn't only build a Mizbeach there, but he was created from that spot. What does that mean? How did Hashem create Adam? He took dust, took clay, earth, fashioned it into a shape of a human being, and then blew in a neshama, right? Where did that earth come from according to this Rambam? From that spot, the spot of the Mizbeach, same spot. Omru Chachamim, the Chachamim tell us, Adam mimokoim kaparosoi nivro. Man was created from the very place that he gets atonement from, because the Mizbeach is a place of atonement, in case you do anything wrong. The person was built from the place of atonement, meaning the person was created from the very spot that, in case we mess up, because we're designed to make mistakes after all, we are created from the spot that brings atonement. Okay. So that's the spot. See, now I'm taking on a bit of a journey here. So let's just summarize so far. Yaakov is there. He hasn't laid down for 14 years. He now lays down. He knows there's a spot where Yitzchak had laid down. He wants to lay down. But it's not just Yitzchak. It's a place that goes all the way back to Adam HaRishon, to the point where the spot where he built, laid down, is the spot where Hashem took the earth to fashion, to create Adam HaRishon. Okay? Okay. However, this contradicts something that says in the Gemara Sanhedrin. What's that? The Gemara Sanhedrin says that actually Adam HaRishon, the clay, the earth that was used to create Adam HaRishon, actually came from the entire world. Right? And it says like this: his body came from earth, from Bavel. His head from Eretz Yisrael. His limbs from other countries of the world. Okay. Says Rashi, the body was from Bavel, that's a special place, Bavel. The head, which is the most important, came from Eretz Yisrael, which is the most important, and other limbs came from other places. So the Marsha explains, so here we see only the head, right? Not his whole being. It's not such a big problem, because the Marsha, one of the great commentaries in the Shas, explains the following. He says, what is the head? The head is the main part of the person, right? In fact, we learn the head is also the seat of what? The seat of the neshama. Right? The godly soul resides in the brain. It travels to the heart and other parts of our body, but its main focus is in the brain. That's where we connect to Hashem. That's where we understand Hashem. That's where we think about Hashem. That's where the nefesh elokis, the godly soul, mainly headquarters is in the head. Right? And that's the part, the head, which houses the neshama, is the part of Adam HaRishon, which was created from the place of the Mizbech. Taka, not the whole Adam HaRishon, but the head was. Which is why the Marsha says, that's why we have a special level of Chochmah, because it says in the Gemara that the atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael makes a person wise. So the ability to understand Torah, the ability to learn, the ability to understand Hashem, to connect to Hashem, is all because the head that we have, which houses the Neshama, was taken, Taka, from the place of the Mizbech. Right? So that now, we need to put that together with the Rambam. The Rambam says Adam HaRishon was created from the place of the Mizbeach, which looks like the whole of Adam HaRishon. The Gemara says only the head. So it's not such a problem. We know that the Gemara also tells us elsewhere that Basa Reisha Gufa Ozi. The whole body follows the head. In other words, the head is the main part of the person, right? So therefore, when Rambam says that Adam HaRishon was created from the Mizbeach, it means the head. And even though different parts of him were taken from different places, but it's as if every part of Adam HaRishon was taka created by the head. And we're going to see what the significance of that is in a moment. Because it's really the head that we're going to focus on in just a moment. Now, you with me so far? Yeah? Okay. There's another fascinating medrash that goes like this. Says that when Yaakov Avinu left, the Midrash says, where was he going? He was going into exile. Right? And the Midrash connects this with an exile that we find in the Torah. Where does it talk about in the Torah a concept of a person being exiled? Do you know? As a punishment. There's a punishment called exile in the Torah. What's it for? You know, that later the whole nation went to Babylon. I'm saying in the Torah, there's a concept that if someone does something wrong, they have to go into exile. The cities of refuge, correct. So it says, right, that Yaakov was afraid that he needs to atone for this concept of murder, right? So he ran into Haran, similar to the person running into the cities of exile. Yeah? He was worried that Esau was going to kill him, but Esau didn't kill him. He only had to go into exile, which is an atonement for inadvertent murder, right? In the Torah, when you go into exile, you go in for inadvertent murder. And that's the concept of Yaakov going into exile. It's a similar idea of a person that goes into exile to atone for makay nefesh, for inadvertent murder. Right? So the obvious question is, what exactly is Yaakov atoning for? Or Yaakov, when did he murder? What is that? What's going on? Right? So we know like this. We know the Gemara tells us, and the Zohar brings it down as well, that Yaakov was similar, and he was a Gilgul of, and he was the tikkun of, the rectification of, Adam HaRishon. Right? The Gemara says, Shufrei de Yaakov me'ein Shufrei de Adam. The beauty of Yaakov was similar to the beauty of Adam HaRishon. Kabbalistically, it's explained in the following way, that just like Adam HaRishon contained within himself all the souls of all the Jewish people that it was ever going to happen, Yaakov Avinu also was that neshama kol, is that general soul which became the ultimate source of the Jewish people. Now, of course, Yaakov comes from Yitzchak, Yitzchak comes from Avraham, but in Yaakov itself was this concept that Yaakov was there to rectify and to emulate and to repeat everything that had happened to Adam HaRishon. Yeah? What happened to Adam HaRishon? Adam HaRishon was created. He was the most holiest person created by the handiwork of Hashem. But after a few hours, he committed a sin. Yeah? Now, Rizal explains what happened with that sin, as we know. So, of course, he was punished. He was sent out of Gan Eden. All the other consequences that happened, he brought introduced impurity into the world. But one of the consequences, right? One of the consequences of Adam HaRishon's sin, even though he didn't intend to do this, of course, we know, was the concept of death. The concept of Missa, the concept of death, was introduced into the world. The idea was that people were going to live forever. And when Adam HaRishon sinned with the chet of Eitz Hadas, the idea of death was introduced into the world, which will continue until Mashiach comes. After Mashiach comes, we have a pasuk, Ubila hamavus lanetzach, that death will be swallowed up, we'll go back to that original state and even higher, which is the ultimate purpose, where death will no longer be. But the concept of death was introduced into the world with Adam HaRishon. With that, we understand what's going on now with Yaakov running away to Golus. Just because what happens is, Adam HaRishon sins, right? And from there begins a process of tikkun, of rectifying the sin, which happened with Adam HaRishon himself, the tshuva, but it wasn't that simple. It's taking time. Even nowadays, we're still busy on this tikkun, but it happened through Avraham. Avraham had to go and build a mizbech in the same place that Adam HaRishon was created. Yitzchak was there in the Akedah, and then comes along Yaakov. And Yaakov wants to achieve this proper rectification, because Yaakov is the fixer of Adam HaRishon. He fixes Adam HaRishon, right? So therefore, Yaakov has to do a tikkun. Yaakov has to really fix what Adam HaRishon messed up on. Yeah? So what happens? What happens is, Yaakov Avinu lays down in the spot where Yitzchak laid, where Avram was, but most importantly, where Adam HaRishon was created. But what part of Adam HaRishon? The head. Right? The head. The head was created from the place on the Mizbeach, the very spot where Yaakov lies down. He lies down to connect to Yitzchak, to connect to Avraham Avinu, and to fix Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was created from the Mizbeach. Adam HaRishon's head was created from the place of the Mizbeach. But let's now understand what happened when Adam HaRishon sinned. What part of Adam HaRishon sinned? What part was mostly involved in the sin of Adam and Chava, the head. Why? Because it says, comes along the Nochash, right? And tries to entice Chava and Adam Arishan. Chava sees with the head. She sees that the fruit is delicious. That it was good to eat. She gives it to, she wakes up Adam Arishan, he sees that it's delicious, he eats it. It's all got to do with the organs of the head, with the senses of the head, and then Vayishma, then they hear Hashem. And the truth is, that's why it works with most things that are done wrong. Most things that are done wrong all have to do with what we see and what we understand and what we taste and what we hear, and all those things, all the organs of the head. Right? So comes Yaakov Avinu. And he wants to create a tikkun, he wants to create a very, very big rectification for the sin of Adam Arishan. For 14 years he hasn't laid down, but now he needs to lay down. He needs to lay down to follow on the journey from all the people that came there, and he has to finish off the rectification of the sin. So he lies down in the same place that Yitzchak laid down. And what does he do? He fixes the head. He protects the head. He takes stones, we said before, stones are a representation of the words of Torah and Tefillah, and he creates a protection for the head. Yaakov Avinu says, I'm now going into Haran. Haran is a place of spiritual danger. I need to make sure, how do I fix the Averis? How do I fix the wrongdoings of Adam and Chava by not doing what they did? They transgressed with their head. They saw, they tasted, they understood. They made a wrong decision, all with the head. From the very, even though they were standing at the very place that they were created, I'm on this place where Adam Arishan's head was created, I need to fix the head. And I need to make sure that I don't make the same mistake when I go into Haran. How am I not going to make the same mistake? How am I going to protect myself spiritually? The main thing is the protection of the head. Because the head is the source of the rest of the body. So he put stones around his head, not because he was worried about lions and tigers, because that wasn't going to help him anyways. He was protecting the head, meaning that's the most, spiritually speaking, that's the part of us that needs the most protection. And by doing that, because he was the replacement of Adam Arishan, because his beauty was the beauty of Adam Arishan, his neshama was the same neshama as Adam Arishan, that general neshama of all Jewish people, by doing that he's instilling the ability for us to protect our head, and therefore to protect ourselves spiritually, and therefore to finally fix the Avera that Adam Arishan did with his head, which was now being fixed and protected by Yaakov Avinu laying down in the exactly same spot that Adam Arishan's head was actually created. Clear? Yeah? And that's why it says afterwards that Yaakov Avinu took the stone that he had put to protect his head. He made it into a monument and he poured oil over it. And he made it into an eternal monument, a matseva. Matseva means something to stay there permanently. Why? Because that's the idea. The idea is that him protecting his head wasn't just to protect his own head. It was the tikkun, the rectification of Adam Rishon's head, which was making, but not only him. We all have to do it. We all have to keep doing it until Mashiach comes. And he was putting it there as a permanent monument, giving us the ability to protect our head. That's why that stone was put there as a monument to last for all times. Okay. So that's a bit of an understanding of what was going on there. Yaakov lays down and he puts a stone and the stone's around his head, then he makes a monument out of it. It's all about the journey of Klal Yisrael and what we have to do in that journey. To finish that off, I want to share with you, talking about what the head then has to be able to do, right? Share with you another explanation that Lubavitcher Rebbe gives in one of his talks. Going back, look at again, going back to the number five. Right?
Can I just ask?
Yeah, sure.
You know the importance, the soul and the head.
Soul lives in the head.
Soul lives in the head. But the soul lives in the heart.
No, soul expressed through the heart. The godly soul starts from the head. The whole, the animal soul lives in the heart because it's impulsive. No, it's not so. We always think about the head, the soul, the heart. We always think about the soul as being a hard thing. The soul is about a godly thing. It's about godly values, about godly connection. which we express and we implement through the head. We understand the values, we make decisions through that, and it starts with the head. Obviously, the idea is to inspire the heart, which we're going to talk about in a second. When it starts with the head, it's a whole nother heart. Now we're going to talk about the heart, actually, but the way the head works will change the way the heart works, and then everything else follows from there. Let's have a look, you'll see in a second. No, but it starts with the head. Wise heart means, again, wise heart means starts with the why, wisdom. That's the idea. You need the heart, but it's got to start from the head. That's the concept. Yes, of course, exactly right. Same point, yeah. Let's have a look at number 5 again. So Rabbi Yehuda and Nechemia. Okay. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Kan Shachav, over here he laid down, I will call you Dalat Shana, but all the 14 years, Shah Yitomun of Vase Aver, that he was in Yeshiva. Loy Shachav, he didn't lay down, which you said. Now comes the next part of the Medrash. Rabbi Nechemia says, Kan Shachav, here he laid down, I will call Chav Shana Shama Vase Shalavan. But all the 20 years that he was in the house of Lavan, Loy Shachav, when he was by Lavan, he also couldn't sleep properly. He had to be alert the whole time. Says the Medrash, Uma hoyo Omer, what did he say? What did he do when he was in Lavan's house? Now, that's a very funny question. What did he do? We know what he did. He worked very hard day and night to take care of Lavan's sheep. Right? But the question is a deeper question. The question the Medrash is saying, what did he say? What did he daven? What did he do to stay protected spiritually? How did he survive the house of Lavan? So look what he says here. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Omer Rabbi Shua ben Levi, says Tes Vav Shir HaMalos. Yaakov used to recite the 15 chapters of Tehillim, which begin with the words Shir HaMalos. Right, you know there's 15 Shir HaMalos, right? It's chapter 120 to 134. Yeah. Okay. Later the Midrash says that Shmuel says the whole Tehillim, but according to one opinion, every night he would recite the 15 chapters of Shir HaMalos. I'm not sure exactly what that means. As someone asked me a few days ago, what does that mean? Shir HaMalos hadn't been written yet. David HaMelech composed the Tehillim. But we know the Avos had an insight to what was going to be revealed in Torah later, and they had some sort of connection with it. It's exactly the same words. Not the same words, I don't know, but it's the idea of the 15 Shir HaMalos. So the question is, why these 15 Shir HaMalos? What's the significance of the 15 chapters of Shir HaMalos? So the Chidor writes, I'm going to stop, I don't need this anymore. One second. Right? The Chidor writes like this. The Chidor writes, the number 15 is very significant because the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov overlapped for 15 years. You realize? We know that Avraham Avinu passed away when Yaakov turned 15. We know that because Avraham Avinu was 175. There's a whole cheshbon, whole calculation. But if you make it, you'll see that Avraham Avinu passed away when Yaakov was 15. So therefore, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov lived together for 15 years. Right? So the significance of, on a very basic level, the significance of Shir HaMalos is that Yaakov, how did he survive during the 20 long, hard years in Lavan's house? By evoking the merit of his forefathers. So in other words, the schus, the strength, the spiritual strength of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, in other words, his father, his grandfather, and his own schus, that's how he managed to survive, by saying the Shir HaMalos. What does that mean? So we know a couple of things. First of all, it's explained in many places that the only way to survive spiritually, we know we've talked about this many, many times, that the three primary emotions of a person, the three primary personalities of a person is Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferes. Yeah? And the only way to stay connected spiritually is to use all three. In other words, if we only use one, if we only use Chesed, if we only use Gvura, etc., there always comes a time that we are threatened in a different way and we fail. A true Yid, a true person who serves Hashem means that he has to be able to be ready to serve Hashem with whatever resource is necessary, right? Because every attack spiritually, every campaign spiritually that we make is going to need components of kindness, it's going to need components of strength, it's going to need components of mercy, which is Tiferes, it's going to need everything. So that sort of means that I've Yaakov, right? That Yaakov survived in the house of Laban because he brought together Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram is Chesed, as we know. Yitzchak is Gvura. Yaakov is Tiferes. So by Yaakov saying the Shira Malas, the 15 Shira Malas, every night, meaning bringing together the 15 years of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov together, bringing together Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferes in one, that's how he stayed strong and that's how he was able to survive spiritually the years at Laban. What's the significance of the number 15? Everything's exact. Right? So why 15? Okay, so why? In other words, we understand it's about Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov together, but the very fact that they coexisted for 15 years, what's the idea of 15? What's the significance? So we know that Hashem's name, right? Hashem's holy name is Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. So Yud and Hey is the first two letters of Hashem's name, which is 15, the Gematria of 15, which in itself is the name of Hashem. But it goes more than that, right? It's the name of holiness. But it's much more than that. It's much more than that in that we know that the four names, the four letters of Hashem's name represent the 10 powers of the soul. So we know that Yud represents Chochmah. I'm not going to go into now why, but Yud represents Chochmah because it's a point, it's the point of intellectual conception. Hey represents Bina. Vav is the six middos of Chesed, Vurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, six emotions. And then the last Hey is the final one, the one of Malchus, as we've explained a lot. That's the feminine, that's the one that receives everything and applies. The idea of communication, the idea of application, the idea of leadership, and so on. Therefore, what do we find from there? That Yud and Hey, that's Chochmah and Bina. That's the head. Going back to what we said before, the head has to be protected. Because how do we actually bring together Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferes, right? That goes to your heart question. How do we make sure that our emotional responses are there and they're strong, but they work well and they're not impulsive and they're making the right decisions and that they can come together? How do we make sure that we can make the decisions where when we need to, we can use Chesed, we need to use Gvura, we need to put them both together at Tiferes? How do we do that? Most of us don't have a personality like that. Most of us impulsively only want to do one or the other. We can only do that through the Yud and the Hey if our head is right. If our head is thinking correctly, if our head is thinking the right things, if our head is focused and connected to Hashem, when we have the Yud and the Hey together, the Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov together, the Yud and the Hey, the 15th, that's when Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov come together. That's when we can have Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferes together. That's when the heart will work properly. And that's when we can have Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferes, the personalities can all come together. But it starts with the Yud and the Hey, it starts with Chochmah and Bina. And that's the idea of... That's the idea of the 15 Shira Malas. That's why Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov is Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferes overlapping for 15 years, because 15 is how it all happens, because 15 is Yud and Hey. It's the idea of intellect, the idea of the head, and that's how a person can make it work. The last thing is, what are we talking about, the 15 what? He said the 15 Shira Malas. Shira Malas is a song. Because the other part of the formula is not only the head has to be okay, but there has to be simcha. There has to be joy. How did Yaakov manage in the years of Laban? Because he sang Shira Malas. He did it through simcha, he did it through joy, even though it was difficult. But when a person has joy and a person has confidence and he has belief in Hashem, notwithstanding the challenge, notwithstanding the difficulties, he can overcome it and he can make it happen. That joy itself, as we know, Chazal tell us, that simcha poirates together, simcha breaks all boundaries, and it's that simcha and that belief in Hashem and the protection of the head that brings the Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes all together gives us the ability to overcome all the obstacles and allows us to survive in the house of Lavan, which again, going back to the whole beginning, this is not just Yaakov's story, it's the story of all of us. That's why we go out into the world and we have our challenges and we have the things that threaten us spiritually. We have to be able to respond with whatever Hashem wants us to do, whether it's Chesed, whether it's Gvura, Tiferes. How do we do that? By learning, understanding what we need to do, by revisiting our values, by learning Torah and filling our head with the way Hashem looks at the world, and with simcha, with the right optimism and belief, we can do what Yaakov did, overcome the golus of Haran, the years of Lavan, and eventually do what Yaakov did, which is to return to Eretz Yisrael, to go back, and as we will, when Mashiach comes very, very soon. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.